This is a Building Bridges virtual radio rally produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Now part two of our program, Women Workers Demand Bread and Roses.
The women are rising. They're rising for bread and roses too. Women and people of color are disproportionately impacted by the poverty wages allowed under our current minimum wage laws. 74.2 million women, 23.7 million African Americans, 38 million Latinx people, 8 million Asian and Pacific Islander people, and 2.14 million Native and Indigenous people. Living in the richest nation in the world, they're destitute, or they are hanging on by their fingertips as low-wage earners struggle not to be thrown into the abyss of deep, unrelenting poverty. Their work on the front lines during the pandemic must be recognized with an increase in the federal minimum wage. The federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour and $2.13 for tip workers. It must be raised to $15 an hour, which will be their first raise in over a decade. Indeed, the fight must be for a living wage. 750 poor people were dying each day before COVID. Their need for a living wage, universal health care, and decent shelter as a human right that doesn't absorb the greater part of their income, which goes to the landlords, is also a national emergency. We're building bridges. We're building bridges to women across the land for their stories, for bread and roses too. Echoing the cry, the demand for bread and roses too, we now hear from the president of Local 23, Unite Here, Marlene Patrick Cooper.
We're majority women in this union and majority women of color. Despite facing job loss, we fought back. Organizing in itself is not only necessary, but it's very doable. And we do know that working people have shared their stories on how our growth together has allowed us to lift ourselves out of poverty. But speaking today on the $15 minimum wage subject, look, for so long, there's not been a minimum wage in America where families can not only survive on, but thrive. It's been way too long. It's inhumane to see how many years it's been since we've had a federal minimum wage increase for our workers. Companies off the backs of our members have continued to profit, and the workers are not reaping any of these benefits. We need to eliminate the sub-minimum wage and pass this $15 per hour for all workers so they can feed their families and move forward. No one ever compromised what the corporations say they needed when not what is not in the bill. The bill does not reveal is that we know how to say what part of it is good, we know how to say what part of it is bad, and we know how to say what part of it is nice. But at the end of the day, the bill did not go far enough. Now, on the political front, our folks, our members fought back. During the presidential election, we had over 1,700 of these laid off hospitality workers knocking on doors of 3 million voters in four battleground states. And that made a critical difference in the results. Then Unite Here, along joining Stacey Abrams and other in Georgia, to take back the Senate. We now turn over 1.5 million doors to win back our future because our lives depended on it. Our folks sacrificed time away from home during this time with their families, canvassing, knocking on doors to get out the vote because their lives depended on it again. Now it's time for us to continue to hold this administration accountable and to push them to pass transformative legislation for working people. Our message to you is we will not stop and we are not going away.
Say, I've been spending the day kind of meditating on Sojourner Truth and the statement, ain't I a woman? I know that for some of the people that may be a controversial question, but I decided I wanted to come here and share my story. So my wife left without a word, only tears. And I knew she was leaving the moment I saw her. What I felt, but I couldn't have known at the time, is how much that one moment would change everything about my life. I'm Sophia Helena Maestatree. I'm a 10-year veteran of the U.S. Navy and U.S. Coast Guard. I'm a transgender woman, and I've struggled with poverty for most of my adult life. I came out shortly after my wife left because I thought I didn't have anything else to lose. I had lost a house, a car, my cat, my clearance at my job, half of my paycheck, and a burgeoning comfort with who I am as a person. But there was more to lose. Eventually, the military found its way into my closet and discharged me for being trans. And I've not had full-time permanent employment since I left the military. Being trans in America, and I'll add a lot of surprising places elsewhere, means bearing the brunt of overt, shameless discrimination. I had to create my own consultancy to get an internship as a requirement to complete my program, something that was so trivial, most of my classmates had three or four. I've had hiring managers, plural, tell me they just don't want to hire a trans person. Housing insecurity, food insecurity, poor food quality, the looming specter of subsistence sex work, and the legal discrimination that follows to keep a roof overhead, like so many trans women have done before me. I'm fortunate that my disability provides me enough to make something like a life for myself. In the richest country in the history of mankind, I thank God that the military broke me irreparably. And I'm not alone. People of color, LGBTQ people, immigrants, indigenous people, mothers, other poor and low wealth people are also routinely discriminated against, which perpetuates the cycle of poverty, an injustice that interlocks with racism, classism, sexism, ageism, and ableism, despite the laws ostensibly preventing it. And you're telling me that $15 an hour, maybe someday, is going to fix it? This cannot be how we treat people. We demand $15 an hour now, not in 3 years, now. We demand equality, and that's not enough. We demand equality in employment now, not just on paper, but in practice.
We shall not, be moved.
We are assembled here in front of the U.S. Capitol today to express our deepest concern over the state of our impoverished democracy.
Because we know poor people are not to blame. We know that people aren't poor because they want to be poor. People aren't poor because they don't work hard enough. For God's sake, the poor people are the ones that work the hardest.
That's right, it's true.
Women have always been a strong part of the backbone of the social justice movement. Women throughout the generations have fought for the rights of all people. We've organized in our communities. We've been vigilant in our prayers. We've marched. We've spoken out. We've gone to jail. We have risked our very lives for the rights of all people.
And we are here. We are poor. We are clergy. And we're here to say to our nation's capital and to the highest court in this land that everybody has a right to live. Everybody has a right to learn. Everybody has a right to love. Everybody has a right to living wages. Everybody has a right to vote. Everybody has a right to thrive. To thrive in the society.
It's okay to be angry. But you take that anger and you convert that energy into a fight for justice.
We are not going away. We are not stopping protesting. We are not stopping fighting. And we will come back again and again and again.
And we are here at this Capitol to deliver our demands, demands that come out of the cries of the people, out of the organizing of the people, in solidarity with people all over the world, in a nonviolent, intergenerational, multiracial, interreligious army of the poor.
Yes. Yes.
And we have been hurt for too long. Somebody
has been hurting our people for far too long. And we can't be silent anymore.
We fight against injustice. We shall not be moved. We fight against injustice. We shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
Joining us now, powerful leader in the fight for a living wage and a union, Mary Kay Henry, president of the Service Employees International Union.
We are joining together in struggle today, and I think that it is a time to honor the shoulders that we stand on of women who have dared to not be silent anymore and to use the fullness of our power on behalf of the 74 million poor and low wealth women that all of us are committed to making sure are not going to be consigned to poor and low wealth forever. We're going to use our power to recognize the richness and brilliance of each and every one of those women, the perseverance in the struggle for justice. That's going to mean that we will win a $15 minimum wage and we will win every fight for justice that's part of this incredible movement. So thank you so much for allowing me and the 2 million members of SEIU and the millions more fighting for 15 in a union to join with the powerful leaders today in honoring women's history and struggle. I'm proud to introduce a Fight for 15 and a union leader, Elaine Gore, who is demanding that care work be seen and invested in and recognized in this country. Of those 74 million poor and low wealth women, 5 million are caregivers doing either child care or care for elders or people with disability in their home. Elaine has been on the front lines of that fight. And we join with all of you to say we want a $15 minimum wage. We agree that the Senate didn't do its job, and we need to call on those 8 senators to get right with the people in their states and to pass that bill. And we are proud to link arms with you in the demand for every essential worker. Respect us, protect us, and pay us. And I want to turn it to Elaine Gore, who's been on the front lines of helping caregivers be seen. That's why everybody in, nobody left out, is so critical for caregiving. Because back in the 30s, when Social Security was passed and the Fair Labor Standards Act was passed and National Labor Relations Act was passed, these women's jobs were excluded. They were done by Black and brown women. And that legislators didn't want those women to have the power to join together and form a union and fight for the justice on every front. But Elaine Gore is one of thousands that are joining together to make a change in that. Please join us, Elaine.
Hello, my name is Elaine Gore. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. I've been a home care worker for over 20 years. I've worked taking care of some seniors and people with disabilities in various states. I find it very rewarding, my work. But even though I provide essential care to community members and loved ones, I have not been treated as an essential worker. I work without benefits like health insurance, paid time off, or even bereavement time. We have to choose between taking care of ourselves or having enough money to eat. I've been working for 20 years and I still make less than $15 an hour. The most I've ever seen in raises has been between 5 to 7 cents on occasions. So when the pandemic started and work opportunities began slowing down, I lost the very little I was earning. My daughter and I lost housing. If it wasn't for the support of friends, I would have no place to live right now. I lost my car and now I have less work available to me. My family cannot even afford health care at the marketplace, and my daughter depends on medicine for her asthma. My daughter and I are suffering right now. Earning a wage of at least $15 an hour right now will be life-changing for me and my family. as a woman who had to work two jobs all my life to take care of my family, $15 an hour would have meant I would have more time to spend with my daughter. It also means I would have been better able to take care of myself. That goes for all the women with or without families that make the backbone of home care industry. I know some of our elected leaders don't want to hear us on that, but that isn't going to stop me from making my voice heard. And I'm not only fighting for $15 an hour, I'm also making my voice heard on the Biden Caregivers Workforce Plan, a plan that will help home care workers win basic benefits like health care and paid time off, as well as any opportunity to join a union, no matter what state we live in. Thank you for listening to me.
My name is Nell Myhand, and I have been a low-waged worker as well as an unpaid caregiver. I'm a 64-year-old Black lesbian whose income is less than 150% of the federal poverty level. I live in constant fear of losing my housing. My only source of income is Social Security disability. Our family home was foreclosed on by Chase Bank after my mom died. They chose to foreclose rather than to modify the loan. I then spent 2 years in housing instability, which was stressful for both my physical and mental health. I had to move 12 times in that 2 year period. So I'm here fighting back the right to welfare, for a care income, and for a minimum wage of at least $15 an hour. These demands are interrelated. Women like me are exhausted. We are unpaid caregivers for children, elders, and family members living with disabilities, and we are low-wage workers. 58% of those who make less than $15 an hour are women, and the vast majority of those women are women of color. With welfare reform, those of us on welfare are being used to undercut the wages of other workers and to compete with them. We're forced to take any job just to get a welfare check. And we refuse to be used against one another that way. So we're coming together to build a movement so that all the work we do, work that reproduces and sustains life and all of society, will not only be paid, but be paid a living wage. We need a base of at least $15 an hour. It's past time for women, all of us, Black, Latinx, Asian, white, Native American, moms, childless, trans, living with disability, immigrant, with or without papers. Indeed, for all of us to have policies in place that end poverty and enable us to live decent, dignified lives rather than forcing us into jobs that destroy our health and the environment. And that's why we're calling on the House to put the $15 increase in the minimum wage back in the stimulus. We need full and just COVID relief, and that must include a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Washing the floors to send you to college, staying at home so you can feel safe. Biting her lips and lowering her eyes to make sure there's food on the table. What do you think would be her surprise if the world was as willing as she's able? Hugging herself in an old kitchen chair, she listens to your hurt and your rage. What do you think she knows of despair? What is the aching of age? The father, the children, the brothers turn to her, and everybody white turns to her.
Sunita Baswana, a co-founder of Hindus for Human Rights, joins us.
I am always sad, angry, and determined. I hope everyone who is listening is sad, angry, and more determined than ever. It's morally reprehensible that in the United States in 2021, while corporate executives and presidents of private universities make many millions of dollars each year, we are fighting for $15 an hour. I am so disheartened that even after we elected the Democrats back to power, now this is the side that's supposed to care for the poor and about equity, we're still fighting this fight like this. This is a matter of common sense and basic concern, fellow humans. We should be fighting for free healthcare for all, free public higher education for all, paid family leave. But here we are fighting for a minimum wage that isn't even livable. I am no economist, but I know that no one with dependents, hell, no one without dependents can survive at $15 an hour. In this year of COVID trauma, we have learned just who are the most essential workers in this land. They include doctors and nurses, but they also include janitors, sanitation workers, grocery store workers, childcare workers, home healthcare workers, and so many other low-wage workers. And in fact, over half of the people we call essential workers are low-wage workers. And sure, we all banged our pots and pans for them, but the only way we can respect them, respect their dignity, honor them, thank them for seeing us through this year from hell is by passing the $15 minimum wage. I will add that women, especially women of color, are overrepresented in minimum wage jobs. And there is still a gender wage gap of about 18 cents on the dollar. The stimulus bill has a lot in it that's good, and we applaud that. We like the expanded child tax credit. But how does it make sense to give a child tax credit and give the parents poverty wages? The stimulus bill, as it stands, is not the best we can do. As Nell was saying, we have to do better. And we demand that the $15 minimum wage be put back into it. The Biden administration would, if this were a priority for them. And we must pass the $15 minimum wage for all workers now. Thank you all.
Wow, amazing, powerful words, especially about banging the pots and pans, you know, which is a wonderful way to say thank you. But a much more long-lasting tribute to our essential workers is $15 minimum wage and a union. So I'm Sarah Steffens. I'm the Secretary-Treasurer of Communications Workers of America. It seems especially appropriate to me to be here with all of you, all of our members at CWA, all of our leadership. We are continuing our call for a fair and just $15 minimum wage so that working people will get critical relief. We need moves to empower women workers who have been disproportionately pushed out of the labor market during the pandemic. Women are fighting on the front lines to build the labor movement. So I know we're thanking Speaker Pelosi for fighting to keep the $15 an hour for all workers in the COVID relief bill. And we're encouraging her to keep on fighting. This is a critical fight. And we're demanding that McCarthy stop blocking progress and relief for the millions who are really hurting in our nation. I did want to say a few words about the amazing women leaders who are organizing their workplaces right now with CWA. Women are the majority of the workers at Maximus, which is the largest federal contractor of call center services. These are 10,000 workers serving Medicare and Affordable Care Act recipients, but they're paid as little as $10.80 an hour. And they face management harassment and intimidation when they speak up and fight to win their union. The women of Maximus are fighting for a new day where a profitable company like Maximus has to bargain with its workers, and the federal government actually backs them up. Women are also out in front in many of our other organizing campaigns, including at the giant eyewear chain Luxottica, where workers are fighting for a safe environment during COVID. The wireless industry, where women at Verizon Wireless stood up to racist managers and union busting at a call center in Texas. We have workers at Alphabet and in the broader tech industry who are making racial justice and gender justice a core component to their organizing, and so many more. Every day, let's lift up the 74 million poor and low-income women in this country who are on the front lines of essential work, low-wage work, unpaid work, women who are demanding $15 an hour in a union, and we need expanded unemployment insurance and just COVID relief for everybody. Thank you.
As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand mill lofts gray, are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses. For the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses.
You've been listening to a Building Bridges virtual radio rally, The Rising of the Women for a Living Wage and a Union. I'm Mimi Rosenberg, and with Jen Nash, we echo the demand for bread and roses too.
Our lives shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Heart, soul, as well as bodies, give us bread, but give us roses.